I talked to him a lot when I was in Ghana. I met with him. I taught at his church. I preached every night, Sunday night at his church. And Daniel is doing a lot. So we need to pray for Daniel. He's doing the Sunday morning. He's doing the Sunday night. He's doing the prayer meeting. He has a lot going on in the villages, and we need to pray for Daniel also. Charles is another one I want to mention to you. Charles, we call Charles our second son, and because Charles was with us for quite some time, he was watching our house, guarding our house, and he did a lot of Bible studies with him, too, along the years. Charles then went on to university about 3 hours from where we live in Ho. And I got the opportunity to go up to be with Charles for a few times in university. And he was, for 1 year, he was the director of the Baptist Student Union on the field and on the university campus. And doing a great job. When he came down to Ho just recently before we left Ghana, I went through all my file cabinets that I had of messages and college books that I've had on Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, different college books I've had, things I've done by way of discipleships. I gave it all to him because I know Charles is one that will use the material. Charles is one that teaches them. He sends an email almost every day of a devotional thought that he has studied or he has researched. And we need to pray for Charles too, because I know Charles, he will do a lot of discipleships and a lot of teaching, a lot of counseling too. So let's pray for Charles also that way. So I just wanted to share those two people because they mean a lot to me in Ghana, and I know I'm going to miss them as I'm here and transferring to Trinidad, but they will always be in my heart as I'm here, and they will always be in my prayers also. So let's pray together, and then we're going to go into a message that I have entitled, Be a Player, Not a Spectator. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the day that you have given to us. Thank you for this evening and the opportunity that I have to be here in this pulpit and preach your word. Father, I ask you that you would calm my heart and my mind, that you would help me to speak your word truthfully and clearly this evening, that you would give me the words to say from your word to teach these people this evening, Lord, and that you would help us to understand that we are to be a player and not a spectator. Lord, we are to be out there and encouraging and working and praying for those who are on the mission field, those who are sent from this church doing the work of evangelism and missions. Father, give us a great night together as we study your word. Use us in a mighty way. And help us as we go from this church to be examples for you wherever we are, in our job, in our neighborhood, anywhere we are, Lord. Help us to be used for you. Give us a great time together this evening. In your name, amen. I remember in college, going to PCC, Pensacola Christian College, going down one evening to a basketball game that the Eagles were playing. And I sat up in the stands and I was watching the basketball game happening. And it got time that I had to go home and study in my dorm room. So I came out of the stands and went down onto the court. And as I was on the court, I could see what the players were seeing. I could almost feel and do the movements of what the players were doing on the basketball court. And it totally changed my perspective of what I was seeing up in the stands. You know, and as I was thinking about that, we can do the same thing with missions. We can do the same thing with those who are out doing the work of evangelism. We can do the same thing as we are here at First Baptist Church of Bellefonte. And I want to encourage you tonight to be a player and not a spectator. What I mean by that is there are things that we can do as we are here at in Bellefonte, PA. There are things that we can do for those who are out, those who are in South Africa, those who are in China, those who are in Philadelphia, those who are scattered abroad from this church. There are things that we can do for them by way of missions and evangelism right here. So we're going to study together, and I'm going to show you from God's Word what we can do to be a player and not a spectator. But as we think about that, I want to start out by asking, by looking with you a little bit at what is a missionary. And we know, I know you guys know, I know you've heard it from this pulpit before, but I just want to spend a minute with you and talk to you about what is a missionary. And as I was thinking about that, I thought that a missionary is one who spreads a message. As I was thinking more, I said a missionary is a person who is spreading a religious faith. And there's nothing in there. There's nothing in there that says that we have to leave our home and go to a foreign country. There's nothing in there that says that we have to stand up and speak to a group of people. We can help those who are doing the work of missions. We can help those who are out there doing the work of evangelism. But what is the message of a missionary? Take your Bible with me and go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and we're going to look at verse 46 and 47 tonight. Luke 24, and verse number 46 and 47. It says, "And he said unto them," now this is Jesus speaking to his 11 disciples, after he rose again from the dead, he's now speaking to them about what he did. "And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." In verse 46 it says, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer." That word behooved actually means it was necessary, it was needful for Christ to suffer. There was nothing else, there was nothing else that men could do. There was no work that we as human beings could do to get ourselves to where, to heaven. There was nothing that we could do in and of ourselves, that we could not be good enough. We could not give enough money to the offering. We could not sing enough in the choir. There was nothing that we could do to get ourselves eternal life. So it was necessary for Christ to die. It was necessary for Christ to rise again. Why? Verse 47 says, "So that repentance and remission of sins could be preached in his name, so that others could hear and receive and have eternal life with him." That word repentance that is there means to sorrow for sin and the forsaking of it. Now let's say that I go and I do something against God. And I go to God and I say to God, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry that I sinned against you, and I name that sin that I've done against him. And then I go the next day and I do the same thing, and I go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Then I go the next day and I do the same thing and I say, God, I'm sorry. Did I actually repent of that sin? No. Because if I actually repented of that one sin, I would ask God for forgiveness and I would turn my back and not attempt to do that sin again. Then it says repentance and remission of sins. What is that word remission? That word remission means to pardon or forgiveness of sins. The taking away, the removal of sin. In general, everything that relates to the destruction of the power, the pardoning of the guilt, and the purification of the heart from the very nature of sin. Missionaries, those that are out in the world giving the message of evangelism, are to go and tell them to repent of their sin, to tell God you're sorry and turn from sin, and to have remission, which means to no more go after the power, no more to follow sin again. But let me ask you, as you are sitting here, what can you do for those who are out there serving? What is it that you can do as you are sitting here, as you are in your home? What can you do to help those who are out there serving God and on the field? You also can be part of the team. You also can be a player in the court of God's plan of missions. But what can you do? If you can't go, what can you do? You can pray. You can give. You can encourage those who are out there working. Let's talk about praying for a minute. Let's spend time in this idea of praying for those who are there. And here's what I want to do with you tonight. This is what I'm really excited about tonight. I want to give you prayer requests from the Bible for those who are out there working on God's harvest field. Okay? I want to show you from the greatest missionary who ever lived, prayer requests that he has asked for those who are on the field, those who are serving God, those who are doing the work of evangelism. Can I do that with you tonight? Can I show you from Paul, his prayer request for those who are working? Take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 30 to 32. Romans 15, verse 30 to 32. Start with verse 30 with me first. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." The word strive there means that you who are praying for those on the field, those who are on evangelism, those who are on the mission field, the word strive means to agonize with, to to agonize with, to join together with, to struggle with them and their needs. A Christian's intercession is a means of sharing in the ministry of others. You can sit there and you can say to me tonight, I can't do anything for them. Yes, you can. You can pray for them. And as you pray for them, you are joining in their struggles. You are joining in their ministry. And I can tell you, as a missionary on a foreign field, I can tell you that we know that you are praying for us. We know you are praying for us. Over and over again, when things happen or pressures arise, my wife and I can say, we know that people are praying. You can pray. You can agonize with. You can join together with the missionaries and the evangelists and those who are sent out from this church. You can join together with their ministry by praying for them. Now, look at verse 31 with me, would you? 31. The prayer request here is that missionaries have an acceptable service, an acceptable ministry. Look at what Paul says in verse 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted. The prayer request here that Paul shares is that my service and the service of those would be accepted. What does that mean? Service is a ministry, his ministry of teaching, the service that he is going to perform for them, that he may be accepted, that they may be willing to receive it. Not just to receive it, but to use what the people are learning and go out and teach others. I can tell you, I have two guys. When I was in Ghana, two guys that would come to my house faithfully every week. It didn't matter if it was raining. It didn't matter what was this weather situation. They would be there. And as they would come, I would sit down with them. I would have my lesson to do with them. But they would ask me question after question after question. They would come to me and they would say, Pastor Matt, they would say, you know, I just talked to somebody today. I just talked to them about marriage. And they asked me this question. I was talking to them about dating and I have this question. Can you help me answer it? And I was very glad to help them answer it because I knew that those two guys were going to go out and share what they learned with other people. Pray for your missionaries on the field that they would have an acceptable ministry. They would have an acceptable service. That what they are doing on the field would be accepted by those on that they are ministering to. That what they are doing on the field would be accepted by them, but also used by them to tell other people. And I gotta tell you, nothing encourages a missionary better than a ministry that is received. If I had people come to my house and I would tell them something and they wouldn't do it, it would be discouraging to me. But if I had people come to my house, and what I told them they were using, and what I told them they would use and come back with more questions, I would be so glad. I would be. When we move on to Ghana, I want our service to be accepted. I want people to listen to the Word of God so that they can go out and they can teach other people. Pray for your missionaries to have acceptable service. Look at verse 32. Romans 15, verse 32. That I may come unto you also with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. I want to tell you that missionaries are not superhumans. Missionaries just can't go and go and go and go and go and go and go. Missionaries need refreshment too. Pray that your missionaries that you support by this church get a time to get refreshment. I remember several times on the field, maybe 2-3 times a year, my family and I would get together and say, we need to get time to be refreshed. Or my wife would plan a trip to Accra, which is the capital, away from the ministry. And we would spend time as a family. We would spend time getting away, getting refreshed, so that we can go and back to the ministry that God has given to us. We're not superhumans. Don't expect your missionaries to go and go and go and minister and minister and minister without having a break. And you know what was so encouraging to me? Pastor Scheit, when he first came, he sent us a set of CDs, I think it was Philippians, to the field. And it was set down and we would listen to them. And we would get refreshed. Sometimes when I'm sick and I can't go anywhere, I get online and I get a message into me so that I can go back and give out. Your missionaries need refreshment. Pray that they get some time away to refocus, refresh, and get back into the ministry so that they can't be accepted. I know ABWE has a time every year that missionaries can go and missionaries on furlough can go and get refreshed. They call it the Missionary Enrichment Conference, where they can go to a hotel for a week and have somebody teach the Word of God to them, and they can minister among each other and learn about their other ministries. And pray that your missionaries get refreshment. Get a time away. Go with me now, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 18 through 20. And you may say to me, Pastor, why are you going to the passage that talks about the whole armor of God? Why are you going to the passage that talks about spiritual warfare? Because here is the key of prayer, right here. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The prayer request here that Paul gives to us is that missionaries would have courage and boldness to speak the word of God as they should. That utterance, that words may be given to me, that I may be enlarged from my present restraints, so have liberty to give the faith of Christ, that I may have ability to express myself in a suitable and becoming manner, that I may open my mouth boldly, that is, that I may deliver the whole counsel of God without any fear, any shame, any partiality, that I may be free of speech, be open, and speak the truth. Before I left Ghana, Daniel, the one I told you about, had a mechanic who worked specifically on motorcycles. And he said, came to me, he said, "Pastor Matt, I need you to help me talk to Muhammad." And as you guessed, Muhammad was a Muslim man. And so we set up a time to meet Muhammad, and the first thing I shared with Muhammad was the gospel message. And I had no fear about that. I had no concern about that. And so the following weeks of talking to Muhammad, I started going through the story of hope, which was the overview of the gospel. And as I would finish, he would look at me and he says, "My Bible says that too." And what he's talking about is the Quran. He said, "My Bible says that too." And so I keep talking to him. And the last week before I left, again, I knew I wouldn't see him again, most likely. And so I was very bold and spoke the gospel to him again. Very clearly, very plainly, encouraging him again that You can't earn salvation. You can't earn heaven. You have to accept Christ as your personal Savior. You can't do it on your own. I was very bold, very brave, and encouraged him. And I told Daniel wasn't there that week. It was another pastor I worked with named Moto. And I told Moto, I said, "Moto, I did what God expected me to do. I shared the gospel with him. I said, all we can do is pray." And I told Muhammad, I said, "You have Daniel. You have Maruto. Go to them. Learn more from the Bible from them. They can teach it to you also. But pray for your missionaries. Pray for them to have courage, boldness, to speak the word of God as they should. Pray for pastor to speak the word of God as he should. Not just missionaries, it applies to Pastor Shaikh too. Applies to Pastor Aaron and the youth group." And then in chapter 6, verse 20, he says, "And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." What is the mystery of the gospel? Mystery of the gospel was not fully revealed until Christ died and rose again. Paul says that I've learned the gospel, I got the gospel from God, I learned it from him. The mystery is that it's open to anybody. Anybody can come in. The mystery is that you can have eternal life with God. You can come to Christ. You can be his child. But anybody can come, not just the Jews, the Gentiles. He said, "That pray for me that I might be bold to to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am here. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm in bonds, Paul says, because I have been out going to teach the mystery of the gospel. And China is not really an open country for the gospel. But there's people that are under house churches, hearing the word of God, hearing the gospel. Pray for them. Pray for your missionaries to clearly proclaim the gospel, boldly proclaim the gospel. Go to a few more here. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Philippians 1, 19 and 20. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body by life or by death. Pray that your missionaries, that your pastors will not be ashamed of anything. Paul says that I shall do nothing of which I shall have occasion to be ashamed. In nothing to have reason to be ashamed of my work for God or His work in me. The years I've been in God, the years I'm going to be in Trinidad, I am going to tell them that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it's the power of God to salvation to anyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of this book. I'm not ashamed of what God has done for me. I'm not ashamed of what God is doing in my life. I am very willing to tell you at any time, anywhere, what God has done. Pray that your missionaries, pray that your pastors are not ashamed of God's work or out there or God's work in them. Pray also that your missionaries, your pastors, will magnify Christ in their body by life or by death. That Christ will be held up to the view of man as the true and only Savior. Paul says, whatever becomes of me, that Christ will be shown great whatever happens. Don't think, as you sit out there in the pew, don't say to yourself, I can't do anything. I cannot be on the team for missions. I cannot be a player in the missions program. I cannot be a player of this church. Because friend, I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. One thing you can do, and everybody can do that is God's child, is to pray. And I just gave you 5-6 prayer requests from Paul for your church, for your missionaries, and for others. Another thing you can do, and I'm going to close with this, another thing you can do is you can give to your missionaries. You can give to your pastors. How? One way is to commit to regular financial support. Commit to giving something. I remember raising support for going to Ghana. And we were very close. We were very close. And Pastor told us at that point, when Pastor Ron at that point, brother told us, why don't you do the Zimmerman's 50? I'm like, what? He said, do the Zimmerman's 50. I'm like, well, what is the Zimmerman's 50? And he said, the Zimmerman's 50 is getting 50 people at $10 a month, and you will have your support. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what amount you give. Doesn't matter if it's $5 or $10 or $50. One thing you can do is commit to support those who are in the work, whether it be missionary, whether it be pastor. Another thing you can do is you can write encouraging emails and letters. And I have to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. We send out hundreds of emails every month. And we may get 3-4 responses. How do we know you're praying for us? How do we know that you're on our team? One thing you can do for your missionaries is to write encouraging emails to them. Something like, I trust all is going well. We're praying for you. And that will go a long way for your missionaries. That will go a long way. Write encouraging emails and letters. We love hearing from you. Missionaries love hearing from their churches. And you know, the one thing that is so hard for us is to get a letter from you or from a church, and then it's only signed by your name. Nobody writes anything in the letter. Write something. Write encouraging emails. Write encouraging letters. We love hearing from you about your family, your church, and even prayer requests that we can pray for you about. Respond back to emails and prayer letters. Nothing discourages a missionary more than not receiving a response to their prayer letters. We're praying for you. We understand what you're going through. We love you. And we're on your team. Write encouraging prayer letters. Write encouraging emails to their prayer letters. Write a response. Let them know that you're on their team. Lastly, how can you give? One thing you can do is send a care package to encourage the missionary. But one thing I would do before you do that is ask them if it's okay. Because I know in Ghana we've learned over the years that if we got a big package or even a small package that would not fit into the post office box, just a little post office box, people pay big money on it. Because what they would do is they would take out everything from the care package. And then they would count all the pencils that you send and all the candy that you send and count every single thing in the care package and charge you for everything. So if you send a care package to them, write them first and say, can we do this or is it going to be too expensive on your end? But there's other ways. I didn't give you all the ways. But I want you to know, First Baptist Church family, that you can be a player on the team of missions. You can be a player on the team of your pastors. You don't have to be a spectator in the mission work. On the basketball court of missions, you don't have to be in the stand. There are many ways to be a player in missions. You don't necessarily need to go, but you can pray. You can give. So let me encourage you to be a player. Not be a spectator. I want to finish with this. As I was talking to some people about this, they said, here's a good illustration of what you're talking about. You guys remember the story. Believe it, it was back in Exodus chapter 17. Let me check that. Exodus chapter 17. Moses was still leading Israel, and I believe it was Amalekites came down and was fighting against Israel. And Moses was up there. Moses was up there on the mountain holding his hands up. And when he held his hands up, Joshua was winning the battle. When his hands dropped, they were losing the battle. And so it says that Moses' hands were getting tired. And so what did Aaron and Hur do? Remember what they did? They brought a rock over for him to sit down on. And then it says that they grabbed both his hands, one on each side, and held his hands up for the day. Guys, church, I started out by telling you about my basketball game in college, that I came down and was on the court, and my view totally changed of what was happening on the court. I want to encourage you. Be a player. Be a player on the courts of missions. You don't necessarily have to go. You don't need to fly across the ocean. You don't have to necessarily speak the gospel. You can pray for those who are out there speaking the gospel. You can give to those who are doing the work. But be a player, not a spectator. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Father, I pray that I spoke the truth of your word this evening. Pray that I showed my heart this evening. Lord, I love these people. They're my family. They're my church family. And I want them to understand, Lord, that they don't have to be a spectator in the game of missions. They don't have to be up in the bleachers on the court of the basketball court. They can be down. They can be participating in the game of missions by praying, by giving, by encouraging. Father, help us all in this church to somehow either be praying, by giving, or by going. Lord, help us not to be a spectator anymore. Give us wisdom to know how to be a player. Father, we love you. We thank you for the word that you've given to us. In your name.